Chapter 52. Fir Kusat huddled as much of his bulk behind a tree as he could. It was 2 hours before dawn, and the figure lying beside the fire had been still for hours. In just a few moments, Fir would know whether all his gambles had paid off. His search for Kurok had taken him to Cenaria, through the camps of the Caladoran Highlanders, and into the mountains on the Sioran border. His hope and his despair for weeks had been that he hadn't even heard a whisper of a special sword. That meant, if he was on the right track, Kurok might be held by a man who had no idea what it was. That scenario was vastly preferable to the idea of trying to take it from a Würdmeister. Any Würdmeister with the ability to use Kurok would have the ability to kill Fir 100 ways. What was more likely was that he was on the wrong track. He'd made 12 guesses as he'd narrowed his list of possibilities. First, he'd taken a Caladoran uniform and stitched messenger's insignia on it, and sat at lots of campfires. When they'd been in school, Dorian had taught him Caladoran, so even when the conversation lapsed into the old tongue, all young Caladorans were bilingual. The God King thought they could better rule if they knew the schemes of those they conquered. He knew what they were saying. Because they hadn't immediately found Kurok, and Fir guessed rumors would have spread about that if they had, he figured someone must have taken the sword. He found the units that had done the cleanup detail on the bridge. Most of the men had been from units nearly destroyed in the fighting. Later, they'd been lumped into a new unit and sent home guarding the wagons taking loot back to Calador, the very wagon train he and Dorian and Solon had been following. Because Dorian had sent him south, Fir knew that the sword hadn't gone with the baggage train, so he'd asked after anyone from those units who hadn't gone home. And he'd found one. Finding where Ferl Kalius had gone was an entirely different matter. In fact, Fir had never found the man. Instead, he'd followed a Würdmeister who had been sent south. The Würdmeister tracked Ferl Kalius, and Fir tracked the Würdmeister. He'd watched the Würdmeister throw missiles at Ferl Kalius and the lord he'd kidnapped. The Würdmeister lost interest as soon as the lord fell from the heights of Mount Hezeron. While the Würdmeister used his signal stick to tell the God King of his failure, Fir had crept close. The falling snow and the concentration required to work magic had covered Fir's approach. As soon as the Würdmeister was finished, Fir killed him. Then he'd done something he would never do again. He'd crossed the broken ledge, in the snow. He'd jumped across a 5-foot gap from slick snow to slick snow. There had been places steep enough that his feet slid back as far as he climbed. He'd ended up using magic to melt some of the ice just long enough to take a few more steps. He'd made it, but it had been close. Kurok was worth it. He drew his sword and stepped forward in a modified gel posto, a fighter's stance for keeping balance and agility on slick ground. In a few quick steps, he was over the man. His sword dipped and stabbed through the figure's chest, a chest made of snow wrapped in a cloak. Fir cursed and whipped around as the real Ferl Kalius charged out of the woods. Kurok held high. Fir barely had time to move. The Highlander's slash would have cut through Fir, except that he had thrown himself to one side. As it was, Kurok knocked the blade from his hand.
"Not much honor in stabbing a sleeping man," Ferl said with a thick Calador accent. "The stakes are too high for honor," Fir said.
He had thought the man had no idea he was being followed.
"Give me the sword," Fir said, "and I'll let you live."
Justifiably, Ferl looked at him like he was crazy. He was armed, Fir wasn't.
"Me give it to you? This is a war chief's sword."
"A war chief?
That sword is worth more than your entire clan, and every other clan for 100 miles put together.
Ferl didn't believe him, but he didn't care either.
It's mine!
3 points of white light, each smaller than Fir's thumbnail, appeared before him and whizzed at Ferl Caelius. The man wasn't half bad, but there was only so fast anyone could move a sword. The 2 missiles that Ferl blocked with the sword blasted off into the night. The 3rd missile went right below Ferl's hands into his belly. Fir reached out with difficulty. Magic at a distance was never his strength, and yanked the missile up. It burned a path to Ferl's heart. The Highlander fixed his eyes on Fir and toppled sideways. Fir picked up Curoc without elation. He'd been right. All his guesses and gambles had paid off. If anyone ever heard this story, the bards would make it a legend. He'd just recovered one of the most powerful magical artifacts ever created. So why did he feel empty? It had been so easy this time, slow, but easy. Maybe Ferl had been right. It hadn't been honorable, but when one person had Curoc, the fight was never fair. But that wasn't it either. He'd recovered this damn sword 3 times. 3! He could be declared the official finder of the blasted sword. He had it, but he could never use it. He was mediocre, and he'd made the mistake of being friends with the great. Solanariwan Tofusin Safasti had been a prince of the Sethi Empire. His talent put him in the top ranks of all living mages. Dorian was another prince, a Wurtmeister, and more. He was a magus of the kind that came along once a generation. Fir was a Cordwainer's son with middling talent and a good hand with a sword. He'd been an apprentice, smith, when his talent had been discovered, and he'd later attended the Maker's School and then been hired as a smith and blades instructor at Shosendi, where he'd met Solon and Dorian. Dorian had disavowed his birth, and neither he nor Solon had been officially granted any special treatment. But that, Fir knew, didn't mean they'd gotten no benefit from their noble birth. No matter what happened to Dorian or Solon, they knew that they were something special. They knew they mattered. Fir never had that. He was always second place, if not third. The signal stick flashed, and Fir pulled it out. The young Wurtmeister he'd killed had kept a translation key on him. Evidently, it had been the first time he'd been entrusted with a signal stick. So Fir had been able to translate the flashes of light into letters. But they were still in code, and in Caladoran. Breaking that code was simple. The first letter was its Caladoran letter plus 1. The second was the letter plus 2. And so on. But the letters were spelled out so rapidly, and Fir had nothing to write on, and his Caladoran vocabulary was limited. The God King was using them exactly the way Fir would have. He was coordinating distant troops and meisters. It was simple, and yet an enormous advantage. His commands were delivered instantly, while his opponents had to wait hours or days for messengers. In those days or hours, situations changed. Plans changed.
No wonder he's devastated every army to come against him.
Gather north of... The signal stick flashed. Then it paused, and the blue modified to red.
What the hell did that mean?
Fir spelled out the letters and, on a hunch, transliterated them into common.
P-A-V-V-I-L-S G-R-O-V-E
Pavel's Grove. It turned blue and went too rapidly for Fir to catch, but it repeated 1 section twice. 2 days.
2 days. Then it went dark. Fir let out a long breath. He'd passed through Pavil's Grove on his way south. It was a small logging town that produced some of Scenaria's only oak. There was a plain north of the town suitable for a battle. Clearly, the God King had a plan to wipe out the rebel army there. Fir could get there in 2 days, but it was still 2 hours until dawn. Did the Caladorans count a day from dawn or from midnight? Did 2 days mean 2 or 3? Fir cursed. He could break an obscure cipher in another language, but he couldn't count to 3. Great! The signal stick turned yellow. Something it had never done before. Wurdmeister Loris, report. Oh no. The stick flashed. Why? Going. South. Fir blanched. So the signal sticks didn't just communicate, they transmitted his position. That wasn't good. Punishment will when you return. My punishment will be decided when I return? Lantano, rumored to be near you. Any sign? Fir wanted to grab his own ignorance by the neck and shake the life out of it. What was rumored to be near him? Wurdmeister? Loris? Failure to respond will... Fir threw the stick away and scurried backward. Nothing happened. A minute passed. Still nothing happened. He was beginning to feel silly when the signal stick exploded with such force that it shook snow from the trees for 100 paces. Well... that'll wake the neighbors. The neighbors? That wasn't a pretty thought. And Lantano? That name sounded familiar. Fir climbed a rock hill nearby to get a better view of his surroundings. He almost wished he hadn't. 400 paces to the south, an army was camped, with perhaps 6,000 men. The usual camp followers added perhaps 4,000 to that. Wives and farriers and smiths and prostitutes and cooks and servants. The army's flag bore a stark black vertical sword on a white field. Lantano Geruwashi's sigil. That was the name, Fir remembered. A general who'd never been defeated. A commoner's son who had won 60 duels. If the stories were to be believed, sometimes he fought with wood practice swords against his opponent's steel to make things interesting. The neighbors had definitely heard the noise, and a knot of 10 horsemen was riding toward Fir right now. At least 100 others followed.